give us an idea. Did you have an experience and an interest in solar power and energy efficiency before, and you've been able to partner with MIT to take that further, or is this a new area of focus for you personally?
No, that's if you. I don't know how old you are, but I'm going into my 70th year, and in 1980. We had a survival gathering in the Black Hills,
right.
And we invited all of the inventors and the technology of renewable and sustainable energy. So we had portable showers. There were just all kinds of ingenious things that occurred during that time, and that was besides the lawsuits, we were plaintiffs against the uranium mining in the Black Hills, and we prevailed in those lawsuits. And so the positive and proactive side to that was to move forward with sustainable development. So those folks are all old folks now, if they're still alive, that brought the technology to land in the Black Hills. For a week, we had a conference, a national survival gathering. So it's been that many years. As a young person, I looked at green, believed in green. And so for this resistance we had, you always have to have another side to it, the positive and the proactive and the alternative. So we are now operating our electricity at 70% is from coal development. So the long-term objective for us is to get off the fossil fuel grid and onto the hydropower grid, which is revenue derived from hydropower, and the possibility of creating our own utilities. And so Standing Rock has created a regulatory body which will be the permitting system for any future oil development to come through here. Will not be done by the public utilities of North Dakota or South Dakota, but we will have that regulatory body here to issue permits for any kind of development that we have through our territory. So Standing Rock has done that, and we're developing the commission rules and regulations as I speak. And then we're also created a utility company so that we are creating a microgrid for Standing Rock, because we are three counties, Morrow, Grant, and Sioux County. We are Sioux County. On the South Dakota side, there is Morrow, Grand, and Heartland. So we're creating an entity for Standing Rock, creating a microgrid that will be solely our people here. And so we have long-term goals of developing that energy authority and operations. And so Standing Rock has created a long-term national Indian energy strategy, which is to go green. And so they have also adopted the tribal council here at Standing Rock have adopted a strategy for food security as well. So we will be we will be creating the green code, energy audits, and we've done assessments on half of our buildings here. We're looking at 70 streetlights on the South Dakota side to utilize the LED lighting. We're hoping that the inventor of the latest cell will be here to show us if not in the future, we'll be meeting with her to look at the potential that we have to use the solar streetlights and how we can utilize those batteries for different areas. And where our biggest area is are the two casinos, and they pay an average, one pays an average of $50,000 a month. And so we're hoping that when we do our assessments, we can find the revenue to transition to solar.
Wow.
So we're on the move for the development of solar in the schools. Standing Rock Elementary School and the middle school are already green certificates. They are geothermal. So what we'll be doing is establishing the renewable portfolio standards for geothermal, hydroelectricity, solar, and wind. So Sitting Bull College has wind power already. Two of the elementary schools have geothermal, and we'll be going solar with much of it. And we need to alleviate the cost of high electricity, because both solar and wind are cheaper now than fossil fuel. And in our district here in Long Soldier, which is the 48th proper, the installation of the solar power will save us $1.5 million over the lifetime of the equipment, which is 100 years. So the utility on the North Dakota side that provides power to Standing Rock charges 12 cents per kilowatt hour, while in Bismarck, the citizens only pay 8 cents per kilowatt hour. So they pay 33% less than we do in Bismarck. There's no law in North Dakota or South Dakota preventing utilities from being shut off in the wintertime due to non-payment, even though other states in the country provide for that in cold weather. So we are looking for establishing net metering, where a utility permits a solar producer to run the meter backwards when it's producing more energy than it needs. And that way, if someone needs power at night when the solar panels aren't producing power, this is saved up energy during the day and putting the excess power back into the grid. So we don't have a good metering law, and we will have to use battery storage in order to make solar economical. So we're looking at both options, but primarily net metering, so that we're putting on the grid the surplus and then utilizing it when we need it. So we have to create an energy source that is conducive to this weather and the cost of electricity.
Will there be efforts then from a legislative standpoint in both states to address those metering laws? Is that part of the plan?
We're meeting with the North Dakota NPL, Nonpartisan League. We're having a rally on Sunday at Bismarck with those who are running for elected office. And that's a historic political group that was created back in the 60s. And they're still active, very political, and very progressive in terms of green energy support. And so we're looking forward to having a partnership with the people in North Dakota Over the years, we've had a good relationship with the people on the South Dakota side. In 1985, we created the Survival Gathering. We created the Cowboys and Indians Alliance, and it all had to do with the promotion of green energy. Mm-hmm. So we've worked with over 33 ranchers in the Black Hills area who we had a consensus. We built that relationship. We've always had lawsuits that move forward, including the railroads, the farmers, the Indians, and ranchers. So we had a good relationship over the years with the people in South Dakota. So in North Dakota, it was more like diplomatic relationship with the congressional level. And we had some of the best in the history of the Congress in the United States, particularly the late Senator Quentin Burdick. So we're trying to now create that people relationship on the North Dakota side, because it's very difficult to work with them.
When you look into, you know, the gathering in 1980 and now, how much has the technology itself advanced? And is it about the advancing technology, or is it really more about the advancing ideas and organization?
I think it's both. And the development of technology is incredible, fast-moving and ever-changing. So we had to keep up, but we're tied into the institutions here that we need to get out of. And that's the utility company is connected with the housing authority, which is Standing Rock. And when you get disconnected for your bill, and we have, I think 2 months ago, I started to keep track of the disconnections because we get contacted as leadership and tribal council. So I approached the chairman a couple of months ago and I said, how many people got disconnected this month? And I think it was March. And he said 73 were disconnected. So when you're disconnected, if you do not pay within, say, a week or 10 days, you lose your house because it's directly tied to HUD. So, and then when you lose your house, you have nowhere to go. But to begin with, you have no source of income.
Right.
To pay that high electricity bill. So in 2016, we had a young woman who froze to death because there were no utilities. Mm-hmm. So we have to undo the institutional barriers of HUD, regulatory, of the electricity being connected to HUD. And that's like an ancient. I was on the housing board in 1977, and that was a rule back then that we undid, but it's come back. Mm. So we cannot afford to pay the high electricity rates tied to our homes where we get evicted, and creating a bigger problem of homelessness and hunger. So we have to address the issue. And the exciting thing about this conference is it's with SOLVE, S-O-L-V-E, which is a program from MIT of participants from all over the world who aim to solve the problems that are at hand. So I'm excited about the resolutions and the solutions and the fixing of the problems that we have, and to have an end result. So I'm real excited about this conference on how we can assume our independence, particularly with the food. We had gardens historically. We had self-sustenance before they built the dam. So having that been taken away from us. We have no option but to stand on the street corner and do jumping jacks and waiting for the Walmart truck to arrive. Mm-hmm. And we can't do that anymore. We know how to garden, we know how to do plants, and we know how to be natural stewards of the land. And we have historically been conservative. So I believe that we will access the shoreline, the land where it will produce. We have to do soil testing because we had a lot of ag here. But we're going to try to create the objectives for ourselves. It's survival. Mm. And we're best at crisis as Native people. And so we're going to give it our best, and we're going to do our best, and we're going to come out with the best technology that will be the best solutions to feed our own people, to live off the land. We're sun gazers. We're sun worshipers. And that was taken away from us for 60 years by the U.S. government. And we took it back in 1978 with the American Indian Religious Freedom Act and the Indian Child Welfare Act, health, education. We struggled through infancy, through adolescence, and now we're young adults spiritually, so culturally. So as we assume the competency of our own belief systems, we're going to go forward in a good and positive way. So I'm at the height of my optimism for what we can do for ourselves.
Phyllis Young, we hope you'll come back and tell others about this program as well, so we can continue to have these conversations with you for the listeners of South Dakota, at least, and for anyone who can tune in online to the website as well to hear the conversation. Phyllis Young, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Phyllis Young is an organizer with Lakota People's Law Project and an MIT Solve Fellow. That summit is at Standing Rock August 12th through the 13th in a partnership with MIT.